All right, can everyone hear me? Yes. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. The brothers back there can adjust that. I think it's a little bit too loud. Hallelujah. The Lord has gathered us together this weekend. Amen. So what we have here is the vision and experience of Christ and the church. First, I should introduce myself. Hallelujah. Floyd McNutt from the church in Ann Arbor, Michigan. Everyone knows where Ann Arbor, Michigan is, right? Home of the University of Michigan. Amen. Hallelujah. And hallelujah. How about all the ones from Michigan? Can you stand up so everyone can see who's here from Michigan? Amen. Hallelujah. How about all the ones from Minnesota stand up? Amen. And the ones from Ohio, all the ones from Ohio. Amen. Praise the Lord. Are there any from Indiana here? Amen. Hallelujah. And Illinois. That's half the room, right? Let's divide that in half. How about the ones from Champaign? Just the ones from Champaign? Amen. Hallelujah. So then the rest should be Chicago area, right? And then anyone that I missed from other states? Oh, Wisconsin. Sorry. Amen. Hallelujah. More coming. Yes. Amen. So this weekend, hallelujah, the Lord has gathered us together to see this all-inclusive Christ.
Amen.
We need to see an all-inclusive Christ. Can anyone say that they have seen this all-inclusive Christ? He's being unveiled to us day by day. So we need to see a fresh vision. Let's turn to our outline. The first point is the crucial need of a heavenly vision. Amen. We have a crucial need, and that's the heavenly vision. So all together, let's read verse 13, 14, and 15. All together. At midday on the way, I saw, O King, a light from heaven beyond the brightness of the sun. And when we all fell minister to our neighbor, right? This grace was given to me for you. Again, to your neighbor, say, this grace was given to me for you. Amen. We need to say this again and again. And when we say it, you know what? We'll say, Lord, who are you? Right? The Lord wants us to dispense Christ, then we need to come to him day by day and say, Lord, who are you? Even the Apostle Paul, after many years of ministering, he said, to know him. Right? It's still his desire to know him. When he was writing to the Philippians, he says, it's to know him and the power of his resurrection. So we don't graduate from knowing him because why? He's the unsearchable one. There is so much to know of him. So we need to know him. Amen. Then we come to the church, produced through the dispensing of the triune God, consummating in the New Jerusalem as a wife. So this is the aim. What is he producing through his economy? What is he producing through our stewardship? He's producing the church, which consummates in the New Jerusalem as the wife of Christ. Let's read Ephesians 1:23 together. Which is his body, the fullness of the one who fills all in all. 19b. That you may be filled unto all the fullness of God. See, if we just get filled ourselves, we just experience grace by ourselves, that is not the fullness of God. It's when all the saints are filled with the fullness of God. This consummates in the New Jerusalem, and the church is produced, which is what he is after, his glorious bride. Okay, Ephesians 3:10-11 together. In order that now to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenlies, the multifarious wisdom of God might be made known through the church, according to the eternal purpose which he made in Christ Jesus our Lord. So here you have to know that there are rebellious ones in this universe, and God wants to display that. Here are some that have made the choice. They have such a heavenly vision to take me, to live me, to become ones that are filled unto all the fullness. Ones that know what's on his heart, know what is the purpose in God's heart from eternity, to be the ones that can bring him back and match him. So this is his desire, so that he can make this known. Hallelujah. And Revelation 21:2. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. So this is the astounding aim of God's purpose. Hallelujah. So this weekend, we need to open up, have such a vision that we could be those that are restricted. Right? It says the people... When there's no vision, the people cast off restraint. Sometimes when you're there typing on the computer, sometimes your conscience may bother you with what you're looking at. But if you don't have a vision, what you're living for, just cast off restraint. Oh, I can look at these pages, no problem. Or I can do this, no problem. If you don't have the vision, the realization, here he said, I am Jesus, which means this is the body of Christ. The ones you're persecuting, this is the body of Christ. And who are you today? You are a member in the body of Christ. So if we have such a vision, we wouldn't consider our living so superficially, but we would be those that have such a vision, governing, even restraining us to live for the body of Christ and experiencing this all-inclusive Christ.
Well, hear me okay? Is that fine? Well, I'll continue on with what Floyd was sharing. My name is Tim. I'm also from Michigan. And we just consider it's really a good pleasure just to be together. You know, we're Christians. We believe in the Lord. And we're looking at a number of messages this weekend. And all of us, we just want to open up to the Lord. Don't you want to be loved by the Lord? And don't you want to love the Lord more? And these verses and these words that we're looking at, they should be so precious to us. Because even this kind of a heading here, the all-inclusive Christ, the all-inclusiveness of Christ. Who is Christ? And then Floyd did such a good job just to show us there is a vision that's governed by the Apostle Paul. And he's letting us know the vision that governed him, it wasn't like, well, I get my vision and, you know, you get another vision on what God has for you in your life. No, he ended up writing the Bible, and the vision that's revealed in there, we have to see the same one vision. So that's what we're doing here. We're spending some time. Can we do that? You know, some of you are new. You know, maybe you've never been here. Some of us, this is maybe our fourth, fifth time, I don't know, coming here. So there's differences in knowing one another. But you know something? Those of us who have received Christ, we're coming here. We're all brothers. We're all sisters. We have the same one Lord. And we are looking at him in his word. And we're giving the Lord even our heart. So even right now, maybe we can just freshly just say, Lord, I give myself to you again. Even right now, you can say that.
Lord, I give myself to you again.
So what we first saw, that there's a heavenly vision that we need to see that governed Paul. And this vision should govern me, it should govern you. And that is that Christ chose some people and he put himself into us. So all of us, we have Christ in us. So if I mistreat you, I don't care for you, I'm mistreating my Lord. We have to see one another to such a vision, we're controlled. And then there was an astounding aim of God's purpose, and that is that he chose some, right? He's choosing some that they would be his counterpart. And I like the points real quick. I'm just going over in a minute. A, God's heart's desire. God had a desire. He wanted something. He still wants something. What is that? All right, then he had B, God has a purpose. He had a desire, and based on that desire, it formulated a purpose in his being. And then C, his economy or his plan, the way to carry out what he wants. God wants something. A lot of times we as Christians say, what is God's purpose for my life? But what we're looking at here and what we're trying to help one another look at is what did God have a purpose for him? And it had everything to do with why you're sitting here. He chose you for his purpose. And we're being aligned with that vision according to God's desire and God and his purpose, what he's doing. And then there were two other points under that. Based on God's economy, he had some like Paul to be the steward. And then we saw from Floyd Sharon, Peter said, it's not just Paul, but all of us have a responsibility in stewardship. And that is the Christ that we have, we put into one another. We flow what God we have in us into one another. Because the heading is God wants to gain a counterpart for the Son. Christ needs a mate. He needs a wife. He needs someone who matches him. And this has to govern you, how you live. Don't you want to see this? Who wants to see this? Who doesn't want to see this? Good. Anyway, and eventually this purpose is the purpose of all the ages, and that is to produce this wife. And then eventually we see this is just the church. That's how the Bible ends, as a holy city. Now this point three continues. How is God going to carry this out? How's he going to do it? How's he going to produce a counterpart? In what way is he going to do it? Well, for us to understand and to know and enter into and really substantiate We've got to know who is Christ. Christ is the very center of God's plan, and Christ is the circumference. He's everything to carry out what God wants. God is producing a counterpart for Christ. For us to know God's purpose, we've got to know who is Christ. Not a Christ who's, some people have a Christ that's a slot machine, you know. You just say, well, I want some money. And you just take the arm of Jesus, pull it down, you put a little bit in, and you get more back than what you put in. That's not in the Bible. The Bible doesn't speak in that kind of way. Now, there, if you want that kind of Jesus, you can go in and hunt verses out and cut and paste and have a, you know, one-arm Jesus that pays off. Because there is something about prosperity. But that's not the kind of Christ that the Bible reveals. What and who is Christ? Well, first off, point A says Christ, he's God. Christ is all of God. So you have Christ, who is God, becoming a man, right? So we have Jesus. 2,000 years ago, God became a man. And there was a revelation that Peter said, you are the Christ. That's a title. That's a job. And we're looking at a resume of a person and who he is and what he can do. You might be an accountant, a doctor. You might be a craftsman. You might be, you know, a husband. You may do a lot of things. You may be a, you know, secretary, a teacher, and you put on your resume what your qualifications are and what you can do. Your capacity is developed to the point where you can operate. You can do a job. You can do something. In fact, people will pay you for that because you're qualified. We're looking at Christ, who is the one to carry out God's desire. You can't do it. You're not qualified. The resume is not complete. So we're going to look at a Christ, and this, you know, even this outline, it's not complete. It just has some items on here of who Christ is. But the more we help one another see Christ, a little more picture going off inside of you, you will begin to be convinced, this one will satisfy God and what he's doing. And you will begin to love him more. I want to love Jesus more. I want to know Christ more. So who is he? It says here, he's everything in the Godhead. So if you take all of God and put him into one man, that was Christ, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, all of God. And once I was talking to a Muslim, he helped me. I was telling him, you know, you need to receive Christ. Do you have Christ living in you? He said, no, I'm a Muslim. And I said, do you know that you can receive God right inside of it? He said, you mean the God that's bigger than the universe? He's so huge? You're trying to tell me the great God that's bigger than the universe, he can fit right inside of a man? I thought, wow, yeah. I kind of had a religious thought about that where I said, yeah, you know, Jesus is God. But that man who was not a believer and didn't have Christ in him helped me. A lot of times we have religious thoughts, you know. We just, oh, yeah, Christ, God, Jesus, whatever, you know. But all the fullness of the Godhead was jam-packed, crammed right into one little man. Hallelujah. That is Jesus Christ. The Christ is all of God. And you have these verses here telling us that. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And this in his economy, he is working himself right into you and you and you and millions of yous in order that you're not a person in your culture, your ethics, your background, who you think you should be because that's the way your daddy was or your education formulated you, and you're a rough guy and you don't like being around fine guys, you know, some real nice guys. And you're like, no, that's not the way to be. Well, how's a rough guy and a fine guy going to just get along, be at peace? It's by Christ working himself into the rough guy. It's by Christ working himself into the fine guy until eventually the rough guy is not there and the fine guy is not there. No barbarian, no Scythian. It's just Christ in all. He is all. And this is the job of Christ as a center and the circumference in the economy of God to work himself right inside of you so that a bride is prepared. Isn't that marvelous? There's a lot here. There's a lot here. I hope you're following. Okay. The next, he's the first on the job resume. He happens to be, I'm the first in the old creation, and I'm the first in the new creation. And in the first in the Bible, that means something. You know, like if you're the first one and you get a patent on a business, it's yours. If you're Adam and you're the first man, you head up the whole Adamic race. Adam's our father. If you happen to be George Washington and you're the first president, you become a father of a country. There's a thought of being the first. Well, in the Bible, that's very much regarded. To be the first, you have the preeminence. You have the top spot. You are number one. You're it. And Christ said, the Bible reveals that Christ is number one in the entire old creation. I like these verses here. It says, and you in the beginning, Lord, laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of your hands. How about that? Can you put that on your resume? I was there in the beginning, and I, formed the whole earth and the heavens. I did that. There's only one. I hope you appreciate Christ. I like that verse. And then in 15 says, this Christ, who's the Son of his love, who is the image. He's the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. The verse just clearly says it. If it didn't say it, you may not know it. Praise the Lord, the Bible tells us clearly, right there, this Christ is the firstborn of all creation. There's a lot of creation. And this will blow your mind if you think about it, but you just have to believe the Bible. The Bible says he's first. The Bible tells you you were chosen before the foundation of the world. The Bible tells you that you were resurrected, you were regenerated in the resurrection of Christ. It blows your mind as far as time goes. But we're not looking at that. We're looking at the truth of God's word. And it says Christ is the firstborn among all the creatures. How about that? All right. Then second, he's the firstborn in the new creation. And that's in the same flow of thought. Because in him all things were created, in the heavens, on the earth. This is still the old creation. The visible, the invisible, where the thrones, lordships, rulers, authorities, all things been created through him and unto him. You're not going to get around Christ. Hallelujah. We like to be those like right now, like this weekend. I give myself to Jesus. Amen. How about Christ Jesus? I hope your heart is open to him. He's a fantastic, wonderful person. All right, he's before all things. All things cohere, subsist, are held together in him. You could study, and scientists study, the electrons and the orbits. They can maybe tell why the protons and the neutrons draw from one orbit to another. But they don't know what power holds them in orbit. This verse tells you how. Isn't that something? All things, they subsist, cohere in him. Why doesn't the earth fly out of its orbit? How is, on a large scale, the whole solar system, universe is moving? Earth is rotating just right. And you, your electrons, all the matter, doesn't fly apart. You know why? Because Christ is holding all things together. Amen. Can we tell the Lord, thank you?
Thank
you're a wonderful Christ.
Amen.
Thank you, Christ.
Amen.
How about this section? You say, thank you, Christ.
Thank you, Christ.
A little stronger.
Thank you, Christ.
This section.
Thank you, Christ.
And the third one.
Thank you, Christ.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
What a wonderful resume, a wonderful person that he is taking care of this, producing out of us a bride for Christ. Hallelujah. Okay? Now, he's also in incarnation. What was he in incarnation? This means when God himself, who is divine, he became a man. And this happened 2,000 years ago in a virgin girl in her womb. There was conceived of the Holy Spirit, Jesus. That was Emmanuel. God is with us. And out came this one who was divine and human. He was human and divine. This was the incarnation of God. This was produced a God-man. This is the beginning, in a very practical way, of producing the bride of Christ. Because now you have divinity mingled with humanity. Now it's moving, it's going, it's happening. What's happening? A bride is being prepared. It's happening where divinity is mingled with humanity. That's profound. We don't just celebrate, you know, a holiday at the end of the year remembering a little baby Jesus in swaddling clothes in a manger, that scenery, and go, wow, that's really nice. I like when the snow falls. Oh, it didn't fall this year. I feel really bummed out. I remember when I was a kid and the snow fell. It was so beautiful. That was really the nice Christmas. But I didn't have any realization that God, the divine being, entered in and mingled and joined to humanity. There was a God-man. Out came a little God-baby. That might not, you know, sound normal, but that's the beginning of the Christ to produce the bride. That's what we're looking at. Isn't that marvelous? That's really wonderful. You're here this weekend. We're looking at this Christ. Praise the Lord. I hope you can say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Okay, this one, as a God-man, he was a perfect man who existed in the form of God, did not consider being equal with God a treasure to be grasped. But what did he do? He emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, becoming in the likeness of men. Isn't that something? A slave, not even a high man, a low man, a slave. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, becoming obedient even unto death. And that, the death of a cross, the execution of criminals by the cross in a humiliating way. God entered into humanity in a way low. He wasn't born in a grand palace of a heritage of all Princeton, Harvard, Oxford pedigree. You know, some kind of lineage, rich and famous and known. Just born just like a slave, not known. 30 years, God's on the earth, no one even knows it. Doesn't do any miracles. A lot of times, you know, someone just gets regenerated, they get saved, they just receive the Lord, and it all stirred up. I want to work for God. I want to do something for God. But the Christ, who's actually doing something for God, for 30 years did nothing. He just lived in a despised, lowly way, unappreciated and rejected, not known, tried to be killed when he's a little baby. So vulnerable. This is how God entered into humanity. It's not like some religious story. It's the facts that God entered into humanity in a low way. Snuck in the back door. Because it's prophesied, they knew, right? So when the wise men were seeking, they counseled those who knew the Old Testament, the Bible. They told them the place. So they knew. But the way he entered in was just so when we want to carry something out. Yet this is the thing. You have to break out of our mode of thinking sometimes. If I'm going to really accomplish something, I want to tell you I'm so and so. I have somebody else tell you who I am. Stand up here for a half an hour and tell all my accolades how wonderful I am, what degrees I have, what I've known for, how many books I've written, you know, who I know, who knows me, who loves me, who appreciates me. Just stand there for 30 minutes and tell all how wonderful I am so that when I come up and start talking, you'll listen. But Christ, who really is the one doing something, came in a way no accolades like that. This is incarnation. This is God becoming a man. Isn't that marvelous? He didn't have to stand with the plaque on his wall, you know, to say who you is. Anyway, hallelujah. Okay. Now, you have 8 points under here. This Christ, he's to the believers. He's to us. He's to you. This one who's so capable, so able, who is God, who is the one that's carrying out God's plan and the desire in his economy. It's the first. He's the number one. He's a preeminent in the old creation. Number one in the new creation. He's the firstborn. In resurrection, he's number one. And we're the many brothers. But he's number one. He's leading this. He's doing everything in this. And he's the one who set the example of how to be a man. Perfect. Excellent. Obedient to God. This one is doing it. Okay? Now, this one is to you. Isn't that marvelous?
What time is it?
Okay. Number one, it says that he is the portion of the saints. Wow, he's your portion. He measured himself out to you. When you receive Christ, he measured himself to you as, you know, the type in the Old Testament when the good land was taken, when Joshua went in and they allotted each tribe and each member in that tribe, this is your land. Well, Christ is allotted to you. That he is a measurement to you as a good land. And you're to be rooted in Christ. On one hand, he's a seed sown in your heart. On the other hand, you are rooted and walking in him. He's in you, and you're in him. He is to you. Who is to you? This wonderful one. This excellent one. This one who is all extensive. He is doing everything for God and his purpose. And this controlled Paul. This should also control you and me in how we live. Okay, he's... the portion in the verse is giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you for a share of the allotted portion of the saints in the light. Isn't that marvelous? This week, can we all just consider, Lord, I want to be in the light with the saints. I want, Lord, shine in me. I don't want to miss my allotted portion of Christ, and I don't want to be a person not controlled by a vision that Paul saw and wrote to me. Lord, have mercy on me. I'll realign my understanding, my thinking, the way I live, what I do. I don't want to have my own plan and then use you to try to empower that. I'd like to be submissive to you. Enlighten me so I can walk and live and be grounded in Christ. And the roots that go down in the ground are the hidden part. It's not the flash and show. It's when you're just with God in Christ, enjoying the Spirit. Your roots are going down in a hidden way, and you are enjoying Christ as your portion. But you do that with the saints. That's in the Bible. That's the other believers, all believers. You do it with the other believers who are also in the light. They have the shining. Oh, Lord, may we all be in the light this weekend. Praise the Lord, for Christ is our portion. And then you have this Christ is our life. Wow, that's amazing. Another person that's your life. So, Dave, you know, again, I'm, you know, a lot of times I'm very religious. Christ my life, and I think I know what it means, but if I say Dave is my life, then I kind of think, what? Wait a minute. Dave is my life. Christ is to us. So, His life is my life. I live Christ. That's what the Bible says. But my mind says I live and I kind of use Jesus. But the Bible says Dave is my life. This Christ who is everything, he's wonderful, is your life. Doesn't mean, you know, well, what would Dave do? How would Dave act, you know, as I'm living? How would Dave do this? If I really know he's the best guy, he's number one, I'm thinking, how am I going to live? I'm living, it's me living, but I want to live Dave. So what would Dave do in this predicament, this situation? That's not the Bible's teaching. This is our thought. And even that, a while back, there was a WWJD that lined up with a thought that I'm living, but I kind of stopped and think, well, I'm living, but what would Jesus do in this situation? What would he do? No, the Bible says this Christ is your life. You just simply live him, and he does what he's going to do right then in you. Isn't that marvelous? It's not what would Jesus do. It's what is he doing right now? And he's living in you. And this is how he's preparing the bride, by being your life. And you're growing in him. You're learning him. So we all the time have to check with him. Are you doing this? Are you doing that? Do I wear my clothes like this? Do I speak in this way? My tone of voice? My facial expressions? A lot of times, a facial expression, the Lord will chastise me. Somebody will say something, I'll think, you know, inside something got expressed, like, I really said, what a jerk, man. You know, something is coming out of me that's me. You know, but I think, well, I better not do that because, you know, I'm a Christian. That's kind of WWJD. But to have Christ as my life, even when I come out with my life, I look at you. And the Lord will check me. That's your brother. Is that the vision? That you're looking at me like that. He's me. And I'm you. But you're in yourself. Oh, Lord, I'm sorry. So the vision begins to check me, regulate me, change the way I think or value or understand or live. And we need this. We need a lot of help. I need a lot of help from you. That's why we're together, even this weekend. We need to help one another. As we're together, we need to spend the time to pray. Talk about these things. Don't what's your major? Whatever you're going to do, it doesn't really much matter. You know, you're going to live and then you're going to die. But as you're living, you should live another person, Christ. That's what the Bible is speaking. We need to help one another. Not many people are helping in the world for you to live Christ, or helping you to how to survive or produce something for yourself. But we like to line up with God's desire, his will, his choice, what he wants to do. And he told us, I want a bride for my son. And the way I'm going to do it, I'm going to, out of millions of billions of people, I'm going to pick some, and I'm going to grow in them. I'm going to be their life. Isn't that amazing? And he's doing the job. It's not up to you. It's up to him. He's the Christ. He's the center. He's the circumference. He's everything. And we just have to learn to realize this and then give him the ground. Okay? So then he's also our way. And where are you going? You know, you have to ask yourself. He's our way, but a lot of times we already have a plan. I'm going that way. And Jesus, you need to help me. But he said he's the way. And the way is not that way to jail, but it's his way is into the Father. We're going into God. That's our destiny. And the way is Jesus Christ. The Christ is our way. He's the way we walk, the way we do everything, the direction we go. He is our what? He's our what?
Way.
Okay, we know this verse. You know, many times you quote 14:6 of John. A lot of Christians know that. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. It's not just a quick three-word quote. He really is our way into God. We need Christ to be our way. because we might be walking our own way or another way. You know, we want to take the way, and that's him. And where is he going? Into the Father. And there's a verse here, I think. Okay. Yeah, you see the one where I'm going. I'm you know, people think I'm going to go build a mansion. That's why I was a carpenter. Another kind of felonious thought. He's not learning how to, you know, build a home as God who created the universe. No, he's preparing a place where he is, you can be. That's in the Father. That's where he's going, right? And then I like in Ephesians 2:18, how about we all read that together? For through him we both have access in one spirit unto the Father. So this is just a clear verse showing the Trinity. God, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit is giving us an access to the Father. Where are you going? To the Father. Hallelujah. Yeah, you might, we're not going to a raise, you know. I need to get a raise, or I need to just get a job, you know. No, that's not what we're doing. We're going to God, the Father. And who's doing that job? Christ. Hallelujah. And this Christ can do it. Why? Because he is God. He's a wonderful, excellent, wonderful one carrying out God's purpose. He's our sufficient grace. You don't have the energy. You don't have the supply. But Paul, who was laboring a whole lot, even more than most, and he realized, I'm in this vision, and I am pursuing this vision, and it's not me who's doing it, it's the grace. The grace of Christ is coming as the energy, the divine supply, the nourishment, the strength, the ability, the capacity. Everything is through the grace. Hallelujah for grace. It's not just minimally an unmerited favor, like you don't deserve something, I'll give it to you. No, it's Christ doing everything in you. Marvelous. Don't we all want to be lined up with this kind of purpose? Producing the bride of Christ out of all of us, where Christ replaces us with himself by mingling and adding and growing and being everything to you, your way, the grace to do it. Praise the Lord. And then eventually you see he's just our spiritual food and drink. You can't exist. And the example here, you just read this in your spare time. Just read this. He's the spiritual food. He's the drink. He's the rock. He's the manna. 6, he's our apostle and high priest. He's a wonderful person. Moses was an apostle in the Old Testament, but in the New Testament, one better than Moses comes. Not given a law, but this one is the Christ. He's far superior. He's an excellent one sent by God to fulfill God's desire and purpose. Praise the Lord. We can put our full trust in this apostle. The apostle Christ. Jesus. Jesus Christ is the apostle, and he's building the house of God. That's what he's doing. And he's building it out of you as a stone. And he's fitting you in with the other stones who have big, sharp, jagged edges. But he's knocking them off. He's knocking some off of me here, some off of you there. And he, as the apostle, as the sent ones doing this work, praise the Lord, he's building the house of God, and he's our high priest. We have to know that he is very active today. Right now, Christ is not sitting bored on the right side of the Father with a long beard, as some kind of, you know, son obediently sitting there in a bored way. No, that is some false thinking. Our Christ is very active. And he right now is praying for us in this room. Amen. He wants to fill you with himself. He is active as a priest to bring God to you, himself to you. He wants to minister himself to you. He wants to fill you up with himself. Actively standing now. And he's giving you grace. He's giving you a supply. He's giving you himself as food and drink, the way. He is active right now, present and living, doing the job of the Christ. And it takes him a lot longer to do that job than to take away your sins, which just, you know, maybe 33 and a half years, dying on the cross. But it's been 2,000 years as a high priest working actively to produce a bride. And he's doing it to you, and he's doing it to me, and he's doing it right now, this weekend, with us. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Isn't that wonderful? That's Christ as a high priest. And I like this one here. It says he's the crumbs under the table. In point 8 says he's the Christ, the Son of the living God. So I don't know if he's a crummy Christ. But it looks, he's crumbs, and he's Christ. He's a crummy Christ. Not in a connotation of something negative. It's altogether wonderful to have Christ as crumbs. You know, that one Gentile lady, she was sitting there, and she recognized, this guy is really helping a lot of people out. I want him to help me. So she cried out to him, come, come. And he said, look, I'm coming to my own. And you know, you're a Gentile, and we see you as a dog. Can you believe Jesus would tell the lady, you're a dog? She said, well, yeah, I'm a dog, but you're a crumb. That's because on the table that was spread, the feast for the children of God, when he came to give himself as a feast, some crumbs would sometimes roll off the table. And that lady said, I might not be a Jew. I might not be sitting at the table. I'll take the position of a dog, but sometimes those crumbs roll off the table, and you are the crumb, and I'm going to eat the crumb. And Jesus liked that. He said, wow, I like that woman. So he really appreciated, you know, though he called her a dog, she recognized he's a crumb. So how many times we are unworthy, we're in a low state, we need him, but we're just not even in the right position, it seems. The Lord will come to you and nourish you as a crumb. Hallelujah. I like to enjoy my Christ in this way too. And then eventually he's the Christ, the Son of the living God. And this is kind of the final one in number 8. He is the one that's commissioned. This is his job. You know, like the president has it's a position, it's an office. And this Jesus, as the Christ, he's in his office to carry out what God wants. So this message began, you got to see this vision, that all the people that are regenerated by God to be the sons of God, they are God as Jesus on the earth. We're living members of his body. You mistreat one another, you're mistreating Christ. And we need to care for the Christ in one another, nurture the Christ in one another. And he is doing everything as the Christ to see it through. It's not up to your strength, your gusto, your fervor, your relentless determination, you will fail. But there's one who is not a failure, and that is Christ. He was commissioned, he was anointed by God to do this job. We just have to let him do it. And the second part is, this is a Christ, you know, what if he was a pauper or some weakling or you know, he didn't make it out of grammar school. You might not have confidence. This is the Christ, the president, or think, well, yeah, but the guy, I was in his class. He not too good, you know. So you don't have much confidence. But we can have confidence in Christ. Why? Because he is the Son of the living God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So we're looking at this, brothers and sisters, and may we use, you know, keep hold of this. We may not have time for you to be in groups with this particular message, but this is a vision for you. You're not going to get it all right now. I'm not getting it all right now, but bit by bit, one veil, like an onion, is being peeled off, and we're seeing more and more God's desire, God's purpose, God's plan, God's economy, and how he is carrying this purpose and plan to gain the bride, a counterpart for Christ. It is through us knowing Christ, loving Christ, realigning our thinking, our understanding, and our living, our existence, according to this wonderful, marvelous person, Christ.
Amen.
May we love Christ our whole life. May we not waste one day, and we would love him and appreciate him. So hold on to this outline. Pray over these verses when you have time. Maybe not this weekend, you won't, but praise the Lord. Hang on to it. So maybe the brothers can come up to help us.